This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. Over a quarter of a century ago, my next guest gave me a big boost in my radio career. As a radio consultant, he helped get me hired at a radio station he was working with in Washington, D.C., and we then spent more than 5 years working together in a big way on a very successful morning show and a very successful radio station. Since then, Fred Jacobs has continued to consult radio stations all around the country. A division of his company now makes an app for radio stations who want to have listeners able to listen to them anywhere, anytime, on their phone. And last week, Jacobs Media was one of the people that put on a conference in Detroit called DASH, the Connected Car Audiotainment Conference, all about what's in your dashboard and what's coming to your dashboard and how your car and what you have feeding into your ears will be even more connected going forward. Fred, welcome to America Weekend.
Well, thank you, Paul. I appreciate you having me, and I also appreciate that choice of Sniffing the Tears driver's seat. It's good to hear that your classic rock roots are still very much alive and well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I give you credit for trademarking audiotainment.
Kind of a mashup of terms, but very much describes what is going on in the dashboard of all the new cars really coming out. They estimate that 15 million cars will be sold this year, most of which will be connected in some way. So this is really a big, big issue, not just for the automakers, of course, but also for radio.
You and I used to talk often about how important the content is. It's the content that counts. But, of course, the content can't get to the ears without the technology to do that. Tell me how the dashboard is now and how you expect it to change in the next few years.
Well, the days of two knobs, 12 presets, a cassette deck, or a CD player are officially over. And the real reality, especially for the radio industry, is that there is just a barrage of new in the dashboard. So when you drive one of these new vehicles, the options are just numerous and captivating. And so it often does come back to what you were just saying. How is your content going to be different? What is it about your brand, whether it's a radio station or a satellite radio station or any of the pure plays like Pandora or Slacker or a service like Stitcher or AHA? How are they going to stand out in the mind of the consumer? Because you can now essentially preset your choices that aren't just radio stations. They can be your girlfriend's phone number. They can be a satellite radio channel. They can be your iPod. So the whole sense of presets is changing in a big way, and that puts more pressure on content creators to be sure that what they're putting out there is compelling enough for people to preset it and go to it, given this array of choice.
Now, as I mentioned, you do apps for local radio stations around the country, and there are also group apps like iHeartRadio and Radio.com and others that are owned by big radio companies, and they're doing theirs. But will these dashboards also have a way so that if I want to plug in, let's say I'll pick our affiliate in Seattle, KGY. Let's say I'm on vacation in Jacksonville, Florida, and I want to listen to that. Can I have a dashboard in my car where that's a preset, and sure, it would punch it in as a local radio station in Seattle or Olympia or wherever I was, Tacoma in the Washington area. But if I were in Jacksonville, I want to be able to punch it up and boom, now it comes over the internet and streams into my car.
Well, it's a complicated question, but it's actually a simple answer, which is probably yes, depending on how that radio station is arrayed on a smartphone. If it has its own app, with most of these systems, you can actually connect your smartphone to the dashboard so that anything on your smartphone will be listenable no matter where you happen to be. If they don't have their own app, but perhaps are a part of iHeartRadio, then that's another way to be able to receive them. And then there's a service called TuneIn, which has aggregated just, I think it's in the thousands now, of commercial and public radio stations, too. So as long as your favorite station makes it clear to you how their content is accessible on a smartphone, chances are pretty good that you will be able to receive them while you're on vacation or wherever you happen to be. But it is a bit complicated because there's a lot of different ways in the dashboard. And by the way, there is zero standardization across automotive brands. It's the Wild West out there. They know they've got something very, very hot, and people are walking into showrooms asking more what's in the dash than more as opposed to what's under the hood. But beyond that, every one of them is pursuing a different solution to the problem. And for the consumer, that is a complication, even down to when you rent a car on vacation, chances are good that the learning curve on the rental car that you're picking up could be a little bit steep, especially if you're on vacation or on business and have more important things to do. So that's a barrier for now.
You know, sometimes when you go and you rent a car, you don't know where the lights are. How do I work the wipers? How do I pop the trunk inside this car? There's no standardization in that. So I don't think you're going to get the car companies to agree on standardizing going forward. They're not all going to say, let's all go Android.
Exactly. They are as competitive as any other businesses out there. And you talked about differentiation of audio content earlier. They're in the same basic race, trying to differentiate their connected car systems so that they can bring you into the dealership and seduce you with their cool connected car systems. And they really are working hard at this. They are very excited about this space. And again, some of the offerings are just incredible. If you haven't seen Tesla's 17-inch display, it is just awesome. It's like an iPad in your dashboard. And some of your listeners may be thinking, why do I need that? Is all of that really necessary? But keep in mind, we all asked that same question a few years ago. I remember people saying, why do I need to get email in my phone? why would that be a good thing? And so here we are now, just totally captivated by our mobile devices. So it's the same thing here. And, you know, connectivity goes well beyond just audio infotainment. It's safety. It's cars talking to each other. It's traffic information. I mean, the connected car goes well beyond entertainment and information. So,
well, that leads right into the next thing I want to ask you about here, because safety is a concern. We don't want people looking at the screen when they should be looking out the windshield. Are we going to get to a point now where the car is going to be able to do stuff simply by vocal commands, and we'll have technology like the Google Voice or Siri from Apple being able to read and interact with us?
Yeah, we're going to have to get used to talking to our cars, and I think Siri is a great example of how that's going to work, but also some of the frustrations that are going to be inherent too as they work to make this technology as user-friendly as possible. The one thing that the auto companies all agree on is that there are three major priorities for all their systems, as different as they may be, and one is to provide the consumers with a lot of choice. The second is to provide a great customer experience so that when people do use these systems, it is not difficult or frustrating. But safety is that third option, and I actually might have moved that up to number one, because that's their biggest concern, that, as you say, people get so captivated by trying to pull up content on their systems that they crash into the vehicle in front of them. And so safety is critical, and I think they all believe that voice commands are one way, but also heads-up displays are coming too. That's where you'll look up on your windshield, and you'll actually see sort of off to the side a bit, not in a distracting way, but you'll see information kind of in a opaque sort of way showing up on your windshield to help guide you through the basic options. So it's all coming. We're just at a very early generation of this technology.
I hope that as the engineers design this stuff, they keep it simple, because that is going to be very important in getting it accepted by the most people.
Well, and that's what consumers are really screaming about. Interestingly, one of the sessions that we put together at Dash was a group of auto dealers. So these are the people really who are on the front lines. I mean, when you pick up a car and you have a problem with any aspect of it, you don't call Ford or General Motors or Mercedes-Benz corporate. You go to your local dealership. And so they are having to hire technicians and instructors. In some dealerships, there are actually courses where you can come in to better learn how to use these systems. But in the old days, they would hand you the keys, maybe show you where the windshield wipers were and where the spare tire was located, and you were off and running. Today, those handoffs can take hours, and in many cases, they will invite the customer to come back after a few weeks for sort of a refresher course.
That's too much.
Almost like the Genius Bar, and you're right. It is too much.
It is way too much. Fred, I know there's a lot more to get to on this, but I'm all out of time. Thanks so much for joining me.
Appreciate it, Paul. Take care.
Fred Jacobs from Jacobs Media, one of the companies behind Dash, last week's Connected Car Audiotainment Conference, here on America Weekend.
America Weekend.